is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight,
you're seeing the beginnings of a sustained campaign, and strikes like this in the future can be expected.
The Obama administration attacks Syria without congressional approval. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And the guys come over and we're like kind of like peer pressuring, like they were laughing at me. And I wasn't upset because they were making fun of me. I was upset because of what big giant piles of steam and crap they were.
Well, in a move that threatens to inflame the entire region, Washington launched airstrikes against ISIS targets in Syria last night. Now, ISIS fighters, training compounds, headquarters, and command and control facilities, storage facilities, a finance center, supply trucks, and armed vehicles were hit. Early reports indicate that at least 8 civilians, including 3 children, were killed during an aerial bombardment of the city of Raqqa. Now, whatever the necessity and justification of the campaign against ISIS, Obama's decision to once again ignore Congress just reinforces this precedent that has been set that the White House is going to go ahead and launch military action with no legal justification whatsoever, nor are they going to consult Congress. Now, shortly after reports of U.S. airstrikes on Syria emerged, Congressman Justin Amash summed up the feelings of some lawmakers as well as a lot of the citizens here in America, basically saying congressional leaders' failure to engage in a vigorous debate about the new conflict, it's absurd. He said it's irresponsible and immoral that instead of debating and voting on war, congressional leaders chose to recess Congress for nearly 2 months. But of course, when they do get back, they're going to blame Obama for not consulting them. But how is he going to consult them when they purposely go back on vacation? Now, by once again snubbing Congress, Obama has brazenly violated the Constitution. Once again, it is an impeachable offense. Of course, we're probably not going to see anything about that. And even with that, the lefties were very quick to voice their support for Obama and trying to point out how launching this airstrike campaign was so much different than Bush. But AP reporter Josh Lederman deleted this tweet after a round of well-deserved mocking. He tweeted, "Involvement of 5 Arab nations in Syria airstrikes, a major foreign policy win for Obama, also helps him distinguish from Bush's Iraq war." And he was instantly criticized. One person said, "3 of the countries assisting in airstrikes tonight assisted in strikes under Bush, but don't let facts ruin a good lead." And another said, "Yes, Bush had 8 times as many countries allied and had congressional approval. These are 2 things Obama lacks." So, of course, it is typical spin. Now, the White House is saying that they have legal justification to attack ISIS under the same 2001 authorization that was given to strike those during the war on terror. However, that law only covers those who were directly involved in the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, organizations, other persons, countries. So, of course, now we're hearing about this Al-Qaeda splinter group that, I mean, we've heard whispers of them in the past, but now, all of a sudden, today, we're hearing that they pose an imminent threat on the United States, which means somewhere within the next few weeks, we should have been seeing some sort of attack. Now, the Russian Foreign Ministry said, "Any strikes by U.S. and its allies on Syrian territory require Syria's consent." And they added that initiators of unilateral forceful scenarios should bear all the international responsibility for their consequences. In a September 22nd telephone conversation with U.N. Secretary General, Putin said that attempts to attain one's own geopolitical aims by violating the sovereignty of countries in the region merely fuel tensions and destabilize the situation further. Not to mention that these airstrike campaigns are going to only further bolster support for anti-American jihadi groups. Now, earlier on Tuesday, a spokesman for the Syrian Foreign Ministry reported that the U.S. had given them advanced warning that they were going to strike what certain positions they were going to strike against Islamic State. Now, this is very strange because on Sunday, U.N. Ambassador Samantha Power told Chuck Todd on NBC that the real purpose of the fight against ISIS would be to overthrow al-Assad and the Syrian government. So it kind of goes against them saying, hey, we're warning you now, we're about to strike these groups. Power said the moderate Free Syrian Army will receive an infusion of support in its battle against both ISIS and the Syrian government. Of course, this is an attempt to keep this illusion alive that there is actually a difference between al-Nusra and ISIS and the FSA, when in fact these are all creations of the West and British and Israeli intelligence, all a means to get into Syria and oust Assad, destabilize the region. Now, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the U.S.-led effort involved coordination with the Free Syrian Army, which is also the group who is just so happens to be the lucky recipient of all of those American weapons. Now, this is why we know it is pure spin when we see them reporting that Assad approves of the airstrikes. So far, not only did Syrian dictator Bashar Assad refrain from lashing out against the American-led airstrikes, they're saying he seemingly gave a coded thumbs up. Syria's official media says that the country's leaders got advanced warning from U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry of the U.S. airstrikes. But this is in complete contrast to spokesman Jen Psaki. She vehemently denied this yesterday. I mean, made a point of denying it, saying, we warned Syria not to engage U.S. aircraft. We did not request the regime's permission. We did not coordinate our actions with the Syrian government. We did not provide advance notification to the Syrians at a military level or give any indication of our timing on specific targets. Secretary Kerry did not send a letter to the Syrian regime. So what is it? Did they warn them? Did they not warn them? Did Assad and their state-run media put that message out to save face, to kind of give the idea that he's got his country under control and that he knew the West was going to be targeting Islamic State within his borders? Just a year ago, Obama officials were insisting that we had to strike the Assad regime. It was imperative. And now all of a sudden they're bombing Assad's enemies and giving him the heads up as to where they're going to be striking. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But either way, we know that this administration doesn't ask for permission and they don't really care if Assad and his regime are giving permission. Now they haven't even gotten permission from the UN, not from Congress. And of course, this airstrike in Syria marks the seventh country that the Peace Prize president has dropped bombs on.
Your point about ISIL adapting to the airstrikes is a good one. And we have seen evidence that they're already doing that. We've seen that now as a result of the air campaign thus far in Iraq. There are other ways to deliver precise munitions.
That was a top general saying that ISIL has already adapted to the airstrikes by the U.S. and others. The Obama administration has led the way in attacking the terrorist group within Syria, but without Syrian President Assad's blessing. We've seen reports that Syrian civilians have died in these attacks, but top brass at the Pentagon have pledged to continue on with the attacks even if they had to change their methods.
You are seeing the beginnings of a sustained campaign, and strikes like this in the future can be expected.
So beyond ISIL, if these attacks continue, what will be the response of the Syrian military? And how will the U.S. react to that? And it's not as simple as everything the U.S. does is bad and everything Assad does is good. Assad isn't the greatest guy. But Assad isn't the one giving aid to al-Qaeda rebels who break off and form ISIS. So it seems to me to be a problem-action-solution that all benefits the military-industrial complex. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
So with so much confusion surrounding just who it is we are attacking in the region, it's constantly changing. ISIS, ISIL, ISIL, it's the shell game. Now an al-Qaeda splinter group has risen from the ashes. The Pentagon has announced that this is just the beginning. So we feel like it's really important we should know just who we're dealing with over there. Now joining me in studio is Joe Biggs. Joe, you've dealt with campaigns like this before. Who is this seemingly new group?
Well, right now there is a battle going on between two terrorist groups. You have Al-Qaeda, and then you have the new ISIS group as well. Now, here's Al-Zarqawi. Al-Zarqawi is a leader of Al-Qaeda. He actually asked ISIS to come join arms and pick up with them. But Baghdadi is the group of ISIS, the leader of that group. He thinks that he is a direct descendant of Muhammad, and he is the one chosen to lead this caliphate, this new Islamic state to take over the globe, basically. So right now there's this huge battle going on in between the ranks. They have been outlawed by or disowned by the Al-Qaeda group. So basically what Al-Zarqawi wanted was for Baghdadi to come in and kind of help him out and do a lot of these bombings, hit Western targets for him. He's not going to do it, so they dropped him. So now you have the new guy for Khorasan. This is Al-Fadili. He is the new group leader for them. And this is a small terrorist group, like you said, about 50, 60 men right now at the moment. But they are what they call core Al-Qaeda members. They've been around for a long time. They're very intelligent and very skilled in urban combat. So this guy is from Iran. He is from the Khorasan area. Khorasan is comprised of a number of countries. It's Afghanistan, Iran, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. It is a ancient Islamic time, back around the prehistoric ages. These guys, in a prophecy, are supposed to rise up out of Khorasan with black banners like this, the one that you see bin Laden having, rise out and then instill this Islamic state worldwide. So they feel like they're the rightful heirs to take over and run this. But you have Baghdadi as well saying, no, this is what my group is going to do. So this bickering is going on back and forth. But what they've done now, they picked up this new group out of Yemen that specializes in non-metallic explosives. We all know the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber, things like that. They have failed tremendously and making these things work, but they think that they're going to bring these guys in and somehow be successful in coming into America and hitting Western targets in America and in Europe. Well, the interesting thing, though, is the area that they've decided to operate out of is Aleppo, right up here. The reason they picked that spot, the Khorasan, is because you have ISIS here in Raqqa, mainly in Syria. That's where they're running a lot of their operations for. Well, what ISIS is doing is they want to help topple the Assad regime. Khorasan doesn't care about that whatsoever. They're using this as, from a strategic standpoint, to bring in, when the Westerners come in from America, from Europe, places like that, they have to come in through here, come in, and then try to meet up with ISIS. So they're trying to cut them off, pick up Western fighters as they come in that have the passports, able to come back into America so they can try and use these non-metallic explosive devices on planes, in American cities, things like that. So there's a lot going on with that right now.
So the fact that they are trying to actively recruit people before they make their way over to the territory that ISIS is holding, is this potentially the terror threat that the Obama administration is citing, the imminent threat to the United States?
Well, yeah, I believe they're scared that there's a chance that someone could have access to come back into the States, because they said today on the news a few times that they know that some of these ISIS fighters and other terrorists have come back into the U.S. So that's the threat they're talking about. They're afraid that you're going to get some of these non-metallic materials passing through security again and having some other kind of incident. But so far, these guys have tried it three times. They've been unsuccessful thus far. But what's going on right now, the reason there's a battle between these two guys, Al-Qaeda's trying to make a step back up, because we know that ISIS is now the largest funded terror group. You know, they're the name in the news every day. Al-Qaeda kind of feels like they're being left out, I feel. So they're trying to bring in some new blood, get these Khorasan guys to come in, help, see if they can help fire up and bring Al-Qaeda back in the picture. So another reason why they were in the final stages of almost having this imminent attack somewhere in America, because what they feel like, I believe, is that if they strike first, they're going to now deter people from wanting to go join ISIS, because they're going to say, wow, Al-Qaeda, Khorasan, these are the guys really fighting in the jihad. We want to go with them. So, like I said, it's this battle between Al-Qaeda, ISIS, but we all funded them all. It's this round robin of our money somewhere in all of this at all times.
Right. Explain that a little bit. I mean, we've got this ancient battle going on, but we've basically supported and trained these groups, and then they've sort of broken off. Because I hear a lot of people kind of confused about, well, how can we be, they could be a threat when we basically created them?
Well, it's just like when you're a parent and you have a kid, you can only control your child for so long until he grows into an adult and goes about his own path. You know, we took these guys in the 80s. We funded Taliban. We had them going. We got Al-Qaeda. We backed them. You know, Bin Laden's dead. They're kind of off the map. We need a new Frankenstein. We're giving money to al-Nusra, who gives it to the Free Syrian Army, who gives it to ISIS. It's just this huge carousel of our money. You find it everywhere. You know, when we toppled, we helped topple Gaddafi and take out that used to be one of the most richest lands in Africa. And now we put those fighters in there. They took them down, and now it's like a ghost town. It's a horrible place. You know, we've done this in so many countries, like Honduras. We helped fund the coup that brought in the new government that now kills people in thousands. So every time we fund these people, basically what they're trying to do is help basically kill it off, kill everybody off, let them fight amongst each other. And then we go and we put in our puppet, like the Karzai, whoever, to help and put in our Western agenda to run the country the way we want it, so we can get their resources and use them for our elites, for our better.
Right, exactly. All for our interests. Now, when I first heard this last night, I was thinking, oh my goodness, World War III has just been launched. You know, the U.S. has been saying that it's going to be hard enough to fight ISIS. Now they're telling us they're fighting ISIS and a whole additional group. You have actually seen bombing campaigns like this before. Do you think that this is going to effectively cripple these terrorist groups? Is it just going to create chaos in the region?
This cripples our image globally. This in no way, because you've got to think, there's so much collateral damage. Raqqa and Aleppo are two highly populated areas. They go in and bomb them. Now, this is ISIS now. They're mainly going after, and like I said, Khorasan is not a very big group. So that's something we could have done there by itself in one campaign. But the fact that we're going and bombing all these spots, it's ridiculous. There's going to be women and children. You're going to have people growing up knowing that their kids, their family members have been, you know, killed by American airstrikes. All that does is feed fire to a new generation of Muslims who hate America. Now, like I said, when they first moved from Syria into Iraq, actually up here around Mosul, they came in a linear convoy, bumper to bumper, carrying out artillery tanks, or artillery pieces, tanks, Humvees. All of that could have been done in a couple coordinated airstrikes with no collateral damage whatsoever, harming any of the locals or anything like that. Now we're trying to go after them when they're in highly populated areas. Like I said, all that's going to do is fire up these people and basically piss off more Muslims worldwide to want to stand up, join the jihad, and fight Westerners.
Right. And from a strategic point of view, the military could see by them not taking out that convoy, that would have been an easy moment. They know that the West has allowed it all.
Yeah, because in military tactics, whenever you do a convoy, you leave 200 yards between a vehicle. That way, if something hits an IED or where someone mortars you or RPGs, that only affects one vehicle. These guys knew that they could travel freely through Iraq, not being bothered by any kind of air campaign based off of that. Riding bumper to bumper, because a couple targeted airstrikes would have taken out all of ISIS months ago.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. And you are absolutely right. This extended air campaign is only going to further bolster anti-American sentiment in the region for a whole new generation there. Now, coming up, the Ebola outbreak has reached a state of disorganized chaos in West Africa. The World Health Organization has predicted that 1.4 million new cases could be reported by late January if something isn't done to contain the situation. And then, experts are warning of a new wave of children from Central America hitting the country. But what are we doing to protect our own children who are now being victimized by illegal aliens?
Hi, I'm Dr. Group. Today, I'm proud and excited to announce a new product to the InfoWars Life product line. Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days, All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, everything that you're exposed to on a daily basis ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. You have over 30 feet of intestinal lining that can be compacted, that can be toxic, that can be full of parasites, fungus, bacteria. What are you doing to keep that clean and flushed out? My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. You owe it to yourself to take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with Oxy Powder. Secure your Oxy Powder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
The Ebola outbreak in West Africa has reached a state of total chaos as the World Health Organization attempts to launch a controversial program that would bring those infected with Ebola out of their homes and moved into temporary holding facilities, offer them basic care, and limit the infection of other family members. Each center would have 15 to 30 beds. World Health Organization officials aim to get as many as 70 centers up and running across Liberia in the coming months. This effort would add to the 1,700-bed facilities to be constructed by the recently dispatched U.S. military. Germany is now asking for volunteers to join the 3,000 U.S. soldiers deployed to West Africa. This, as fears of entering the hot zone are exacerbated. After a child stricken with Ebola bit a male nurse who was quickly flown back to Switzerland and is expected to recover. This aggravated effort is due to the stalling of the treatment beds promised by the Obama administration, according to Liberian World Health Organization representative Peter Graf. There are currently only 380 beds across the entire country of Monrovia, with a population of 1.5 million people. Doctors Without Borders wants no part of the World Health Organization's controversial solution. The group's director of operations, Bryce DeLavigne, warns that moving contaminated patients without adequate infection control staff and supplies could only increase the outbreak.
In a speech to the United Nations member states at the beginning of September, MSF's international president signaled the failure of the current strategy for combating Ebola. No organization, and that includes MSF, is equipped to deal with the explosion in the number of cases, the dozens of infected health workers, and collapse of the affected country's health systems.
James Hamilton, chief gravedigger in Sierra Leone, has witnessed an unending disposal of bodies, with each gravedigger digging 16 graves per day. Many of the bodies placed in shallow mass graves are being dug up by pigs and other animals. The World Health Organization predicts 21,000 new Ebola cases by November and as many as 1.4 million by late January. According to the World Health Organization's numbers, 6,000 have been infected and 2,833 have died. But those numbers conflict with the Doctors Without Borders numbers that place the toll in the tens of thousands. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life. where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High-quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago have formed a big city coalition to grease the skids for illegal immigration in the United States. This coalition will push our tax dollars along with big corporate donations towards a greater voting procedure, educational assistance, and microloans for illegal immigrants. They are going full steam ahead with a Cloud Piven-induced privileged society that is already destroying the American middle class. The NSA tracks the movements, phone calls, and emails of every U.S. citizen, but we can't know where these illegals are as they continue to miss their immigration hearings by 90%. So where are they? Well, apparently a growing number of them have been flooding the United States South, and they are raping the children of these communities at an alarming rate.
A spokeswoman for the Davidson County Sheriff's Office said USADA was in this country illegally.
Gurao Aguilar faces three counts of aggravated sexual battery of a person under the age of 13. Jacobo Gurao faces one count of rape of a person under the age of 13.
Police believe 19-year-old Sergio Perez, an illegal immigrant, attacked the woman in her home Sunday.
418 children were raped by illegals in the state of North Carolina in the month of August 2014 alone. I spoke with James Johnson, the founder and president of North Carolinians for Immigration Reform Enforcement, about the history of his organization and methods needed to document this full-blown attack on America's youth.
NC Fire started in 2007, and it came about as a result of me getting injured on the job. As I was going through physical therapy and rehab under workman's comp, I started seeing a lot of individuals who could not speak English that had interpreters with them in the rehab process, in the therapy sessions. And so I started inquiring about, you know, what's going on. And then, you know, the other things you'd see non-American citizen, obvious people at the grocery stores, you know, paying for two or three shopping carts full of groceries with a food stamp card and then buying, you know, the last cart's full of alcohol and they're paying for that with wads of cash. And then I started noticing, you know, crime in this newspaper report, crime on this television report here, you know, about Hispanic hyphenated surname individuals creating crimes. And North Carolina has not been a bastion of hyphenated surname. All these flags, red flags started coming together, and it just led me to the point where, you know, what's going on here? And I started looking into it. And the more you look into it, the more you find. The effort is to hide it. The crimes by illegal aliens are not compiled by any government agency anywhere in the United States as far as the public being able to access it. So I just decided that, you know what, I'll start cataloging it in North Carolina. And we first started out just listing all the crimes that we could find. And here's how we do it. We just started scouring the web any kind of news reports, police reports. In North Carolina, there are 100 counties. So the first thing I did was go to all of the county sheriff's department's arrest records, and they're all online. And then we started going through all of the, like, TV station websites, newspaper websites, radio station websites. They'll have a crime section there on every one of those. And obviously, in every county, there are cities and towns and municipalities that have their own police agencies. And so all of this stuff is online, and it takes a Herculean effort to try to compile this stuff. The numbers you're seeing now are not nearly all of it, because it's physically impossible for us as an organization with the limited people and resources that we have to actually, you know, check all of those resources. And so we go through every day of every county of every name from A to Z and pick out the ones that we suspect of being illegal. And because of the charge, indecent liberties with a child is more prevalent to an illegal or someone from Central America or a Hispanic or Spanish background nation. Now, that's not to say that Americans don't do it too. However, and the way what we do is once we get the court date, it has the arrest record number, the court docket number, and we take that number and go to the specific county where the person was arrested and get that agency's police report. And on there, it'll say needs an interpreter first. For court. Well, that's a dead giveaway. First of all, the person doesn't speak English. Well, then obviously they 99.9% chance that they're illegal. They're illegally in the country. Now, down at the bottom of all of our reports, underneath the all the court dockets, we have listed the articles, the news articles that we find with the links to them. And in many of those, they will actually say, this person is an illegal immigrant or being held on ICE charges. Oh, it's killing us literally and figuratively in the pocketbook and, you know, figuratively. I mean, literally, people are dying from DWI, hit and run. North Carolina spent, let me get this right, I believe it was $2.2 billion in tax money just to educate, incarcerate, and give emergency medical treatment to illegals in North Carolina alone. In the year 2012, that's extra tax money that could be going to our citizens that need it, the elderly, the poor, the whatever. They're inundating our schools. They're inundating our hospitals. It's a mess.
Back in 2006, illegals were responsible for murdering an average of 12 Americans per day and 13 DUI deaths per day. 8 years later, those statistics continue to be swept under the rug as Obama opens the door for total decimation of America's middle class by fiat. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Thank you for tuning into the show tonight. If you're watching us on YouTube, please go over to PrisonPlanet.tv and become a subscriber. You can get instant access to all of our content, including stuff that's not even on the internet. It goes back about 18 years, and you can always share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time. And of course, your support helps this broadcast. We'll see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.